Hello, friends. Thanks for tuning in to the Axiom Church podcast. We like to say that we are pioneers participating in the restoration of people and places through Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Hopefully you enjoy this sermon or midweek discussion you're about to hear, and we just hope that you'll engage us and ask questions and dialogue, because we're all on the journey together.
So here we are. Our reading today is from chapter 2, verse 10 through 9. It's just right of center if you're looking for it in your Bible. Somebody came up to me 2 weeks ago and was like, it took me like 8 minutes to find Haggai. And I was like, that's a new record. So if any of you break that record today, congratulations. But it's just to the right of center and left of the New Testament, right of kind of the Psalms. You'll find it eventually. But it's there. It's real. You can fact check me if you need to. So chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 19. On the 24th day of the ninth month, Friday, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Well, then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with the people and the nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. Now, give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive trees have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. This is the word of the Lord. Christ, as we enter into your word, we just ask for your blessing. We ask for your presence. And Christ, we trust that together as a community, through the power of your Spirit, we might have understanding. We might have eyes to see and ears to hear. And as we experience this mystery together of your word revealed as your body, might we take it with us. Might it stir us into oneness and into a blessing for this neighborhood and this city. Amen. Now, this passage is an interesting passage, no doubt. I get it. And in the Old Testament especially, we can struggle to sort of make sense of things. And so I'm going to do the best I can to help us kind of put this together. But there are some key things I want us to get sort of as a way of entering into the text. If you remember, 2 weeks ago when I talked, in Haggai chapter 1, Haggai addresses him and says, hey, you've been worried about your paneled houses. Well, the house of the Lord has been sort of abandoned. And with that, we were sort of summoned to examine, are we focused on the me life, or are we focused on the life that we're cultivating with God, the one that breathes life? Which one are we building? And by the way, we're all building a life. None of us are exempt from that. Your current trajectory you're on, the current plan you're participating in, is one of building. It's one of construction. Christ calls us into a reconstruction of a foundation that was established for him in us since the beginning. He actually designed the whole world this way so that it might be a dwelling place for us. And he puts us onto this plan of redemption, reconstruction through Jesus Christ. Okay? That's a big story. But in that first week, when we looked at this idea, what we see here is that psychologists talk about it like two stages of life. that on one end of our stage, if you will, we are mostly focused on figuring out what we've got to figure out to figure it out. We've got to like spend all of our energy and time placing all of the dominoes in the right place so that when the day comes and it's time to tip the thing or whatever it is that we're after, it all works out perfectly. The problem with that kind of construction project is not only is it never finished, it's never satisfying. It's like putting a fourth layer of paint on, you know? You just keep going. But then there's this other stage of life that we cross over at some point. We realize it's not about building my house. It's about giving it away. It's about releasing it. And in doing so, in entering into the story of God, the story of sacrificial love, we find a new kind of life, a life worth experiencing the dwelling place, a life worth experiencing God in, a life that is full and overflowing, a life that is new and abundant. Evangelicals talk about it in terms of, just like new life or new creation, but we usually miss the mark. Because what we've been saying for a long time is, well, it's all about just saying a prayer and coming to this moment and getting a quick shower. And if you take the quick shower by saying the prayer, you're going to be into the new life. But then we just keep on our construction project over here. We keep building our stuff. All the while, and as long as we're focused on this house, we are defiling this house. And that's what Haggai is saying to Israel. He says, you guys want your freedom, but you've misunderstood freedom. You think that freedom means the riches you saw with the Babylonians or some other kind of worldly conqueror or some kind of system of being on top or some kind of ladder that you're going to climb or a summit you're going to be at. But that's not the house we're building. And we're building something else. It's the same thing that Peter and Jesus have at their end of their discussion. When Jesus gets resurrected, he comes to Peter, right? Peter denied Jesus 3 times because he was still focused on building his house. And then Jesus comes to Peter and says, 3 times, notice, by the way, do you love me? And following that, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? And every time he tells them, if you love me, then give yourself away. Stop building, protecting you. And so we are being invited into the same space that Jesus calls us into. See, Jesus is God's reconstruction plan. If there is a blueprint, it's him. And Haggai's just like, you know, deserves a little credit because he was pointing to this. In fact, all of Scripture has been pointing to this. It's just that we've been using Scripture to build our house over here, and so we've seen it kind of in a different way at times. But I'm inviting us to see it through the lens of Christ. And so as we look at this text, I want us to kind of get this, to put this together, that while the Babylonians had destroyed in moments the temple, right? They came and they blew the house down. The old temple was ruined like that. And we look at that and we think that, well, then we'll just build it like that, right? And everything is going to be this quick project. But when they come back to rebuild, it's long, it's laborious, it's piece by piece. It's this slow, ongoing process. And that's exactly it. Again, back to Jesus and Peter. I make the parallel. It's just so obvious. There will be a time in your life when you put on your own clothes and garments, and there'll be another time where someone stretches you out and takes you where you don't want to go. The other half of life is a space where we are being birthed out. We are being given out, poured out for others. And this slow process, this piece by piece thing is one that takes an awareness away from the self to the present where God is. And when you start to look at things through Christ's eyes and through God's eyes, you start to see it all. You start to see the life in everybody. You start to see something new and you start to go, that other stuff, that house I was building, that faith I'd constructed out of sort of cards, it's just not good enough. There's something so much more precious here. And we've got to go there. We've got to respond to that. So like Israel, we may find our dwelling place in pieces. We may find our faith crashed. We may have been hurt. Life might feel shipwrecked. Pain may have come to your door. But it's that space that we build out of. We don't just build out of the interest of something over here. We build out of the broken pieces because, again, the story is Christ and He is putting everything back together. And we need to become acquainted with all the pieces that He's putting back together. And I know it's painful, and I know it's hard, and I know it feels like heavy lifting at times. But Haggai seems to think that it's well worth it. And Jesus, in His pain and in His execution, in His crucifixion, bared that for a greater glory, for something that far outweighed it. Because the finish line is not the quick shower. Man, thank God, right? It's not the prayer you prayed when you started out. That was a great starting point, by the way. It just wasn't the end of it. It's not the finish. And if we're to be tricked to think that that's the end, and now we're just like gonna like we're this is gonna be a very difficult run for us. So Haggai comes to them and says, yeah, it's not just about being freed from the Babylonians. It's not just about being freed from whatever it is that ails you. It's about piece by piece being restored. And Haggai here says three times, actually five times in the book of Haggai, which is a short book, five times he tells us to take careful observation. And I want to hang on that for a second because what's so important here is that for real reconstruction, for really putting back the dwelling place, the presence of God, the space that we share with Him, for really cultivating that life, it deserves careful observation. And this is what I mean on the second sort of stage of life. This invitation here is to really be present to it all. That any part of society, culture, or your world that is trying to get you to go somewhere else to do some other thing, to find some other thing, all of that is distraction. Jesus is inviting us, and Haggai is inviting us here, to take careful attention to the very details, all the way down to our cleanliness. To the whole thing. Our resources, our strength, how we steward our thoughts and engagements, everything, our talents, all of life matters. Pay careful attention. That in the process of reconstruction, you're not going to just quickly sign up and take the shower and go. No, you're going to piece by piece hold and steward every moment to build the kind of life that is abundant, a life that is the with God life. And see, this idea of careful thought or all of life comes with this other word of cleanliness or consecrated. And another word that we get with that is this idea of holiness. And the irony here is that in the modern deconstruction movement, holiness is a trigger word, right? It's like a word that our parents used to say and like hold us to. And what I want to invite us is to sort of put that idea of holiness aside. That holiness is not just about cleaning the dishes on the outside. Holiness is not a fresh coat of paint. Holiness is not just trying to look good, but on the inside, be dying, okay? Like, that's not the invitation. Holiness is something else. It's the careful thought, the careful attention that this passage three times, and just this part of the passage alone, gets at. It's to do what you need to do. It's to be who you need to be. And the essence of holiness, which the Lord addresses here, is at this idea of being made clean. And I know this feels like a stretch, but the truth is it's really not. that before we had this perspective where I would just say the prayer, experience forgiveness, and all would be made clean. And that's true, that Christ's crucifixion, life, death, his blood that's been poured out and shed for us, all of that is the cleansing power of God in us. But what we're being invited to is the same thing we're doing in communion every week, is to take careful attention of what's happening, of how this broken body that's been poured out for you changes and cleans all, every part of you. This reconstruction is a cleansing process. It's taking something that has been defiled and moving into something that is good, worthy, capable. And so they ask in this question, if something clean touches something dirty, it's a good question, by the way, does the dirty thing become clean? No, they say. Well, if the dirty thing touches something clean, does the clean thing stay clean? No. I'll put it this way. If a kiddo eats a bag of Cheetos and then goes on with his day without first cleaning his hand, before you know it, what's going to happen? Everything's going to be covered in Cheetos. Now, it would be blasphemy to say that Cheetos are unclean, okay? I just want to make it clear. We all love a good Cheeto. Those things are messy. But you see the challenge here. If I am in a waiting room in a hospital and I am totally healthy, not sick at all, am I going to make everybody else in that room all of a sudden clean and not sick? Just because I'm not? Will my presence in the waiting room cure everybody in the room? No. Really? Of course not, right? Yes, no. Everybody's like, I don't know, is this a trick question? No. But could me being in the waiting room make me sick? Yes. And that's the idea here, is that we want to just like get the fast version and just assume it's going to somehow like do it. It's going to do the trick. But Haggai here is questioning the whole process. He's saying, you can't just like throw this together and assume that it's like all good. You can't take a clean thing and put it in the garment and just like, it's been defiled. And he's trying to help us to see this. Just as the ceremonial uncleanliness polluted that which a person touches, Israel, God is saying, Israel and their long-standing disobedience have made unclean their place of worship. They have made unclean their house. And God calls it out in verse 14. He says, this offering of yours, this whole thing, this whole process, this whole system that you've bought into, it's not what's good for you. And the way that you know this is just by its fruit. And that's what the last part of this text is about. If you'll go back to it real quick, the last verses here, chapter 2, verses 18, 19. Yeah, here we go. Consider carefully from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider carefully. There, see twice, consider it. Is there still seed left in the grain? The vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced. See, what they're challenging us here to do is to carefully consider, is the house clean? Is what we're working with, have we examined it appropriately? Is it going to be helpful in constructing, reconstructing our faith? And the wisdom of this is that we're not okay with constructing a faith that's just sort of thrown together, but we're saying, no, we think that God's whole big plan is worth our time and attention, and that we as followers of Jesus are being called to an extremely attentive process of examining our whole self and coming to grip with the person God really made us to be. And the process that we get there is not a quick flash in the pan. It's a process of going deep into our false self at times, our dark side, but in taking Christ with us taking the one who can cleanse us with us, and piece by piece, surrendering it to him. And anybody that's been through like 12 steps or been through like any process of just pressing into health, right? We know that the process is grueling. I remember when I had my gallbladder taken out, and just the process of getting better from that was painful. Or when you're trying to recover from being sick, or whatever it is, the process takes time, and it needs to take time, because what we're healing, what we're restoring matters. And I don't want to be in a church where we go, it's not that important, you'll be good. It's just too cheap. Jesus wants the whole you, every part of you. And if we're really honest with ourselves deep down inside, we want the whole part of ourself to be exposed before him in such a way that it is cared for and put back together, so that we have the freedom to not be afraid anymore, the freedom to not hurt anymore, the freedom to love again. I miss loving people. I miss the freedom to receive love from people. See, because in our deconstruction, often, which again, deconstruction is a healthy process, but in our unhealthy systems, I should say, we are constructing often isolation. But God is inviting us to construct union. You were created to be in union, in relationship of love together. That is where the true self lives. All your desires you have, for whatever they are, if you put at the end of that, behind all of your true desires is really a desire for union and love through Christ. This is what Christ comes to show. This is what Christ comes to demonstrate. Christ says, I am coming to you. Emmanuel, God with us. And all of Haggai, he keeps saying it, the presence of God, the presence of God. You see, especially in chapter 1, last week we looked at this. Reconstruction is a process of finding the whole and having the freedom to live again. And it's a process of examining and cleansing every part. We can't just sweep it under the rug. We can't just be content with, I just don't know how to get any better. I'll just continue in this way of life. No. Let's try something new. Let's take hold of the pieces, the shambles, collectively. And just foot one at a time. Put it back together. Now here's the thing, and I love this at the very end. If you go back to that verse, at the very end of this, what he tells us, the vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced, but from this day on, I will bless you. And the grace and generosity of our God is that I know life's in shambles. I know your plan hasn't worked out, but all I need from you is to be here. And if you're here, I will bless you. He doesn't need you to finish the project. You don't have to have it done yet. The blessing already has begun. His presence has already been granted, if you will. He's with you. Whatever your crucible is, God says, hey, let me in. Let me in on this. Let's just start with where we're at today. I will bless you if you'll let me in on this. My presence, can it be enough for this right now? If that's all we got, and that's a pretty good thing to have. Our world needs to hear this from us. Our world needs to know that life can be so much more. That the abundant life that Jesus brings is available. So let us slow down and examine every move. Let us see the sacredness of every piece, that the whole construction plan is God's plan. And he sees a big master project, one that includes all of us and all of them out there. And he's inviting us to press into that. You might want to grab that. I love a good interruption. To live in the moment and be present to what we are building. That can actually be good. But you know what? I want to tell you, it's going to be a prayer-filled life. It's going to be a life of conversation. It's going to be an intimate sharing of your woes. Jesus is going to take you to depths that you might right now at the moment be not sure you want to go. But I just want you to know he's the best company for those places. And we need some community to go with where it's appropriate. So we need to be a church that's present to our kids and to one another and to our struggling moms that are single or dads that are single and to our elderly that are not well and sick and to our young couples that are thinking about getting married. So whoever you are, we all need it. Because I want to love our building, and I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the place we dwell together. The things that bind us together. The love we share. So I want to invite us to take a risk. We're going to go into communion. And the risk is really just a way of practicing the way of Jesus. That risk is part of reconstruction. Jesus took a risk by going to the cross. Giving his life for us. And I want to invite you to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. He's already done this, by the way. He invited you to do this. So will you take a minute and ask yourself, and ask Jesus, Christ, what is it that I might release today? What is the crucible or the thing that I need to place at your cross that I need to experience sacrifice in my life? What's the thing I need to let go of? I need to release into your care and into the care of the body. What's the thing that I must give careful attention to at this moment and be poured out with? And I invite you, when you're ready, to come forward by going to the outside of the room and taking the cracker, which represents the body, and the juice, which represents his blood, and to prayerfully surrender it to him and give thanks. Because here's the deal, he receives it. He receives you. And if you're comfortable to do this with a few friends or people with you, or if you want to take a risk and grab a stranger, do that too. We're a body today. We're a body always. So Jesus, as we come to your table, we know that we come by your invitation. And Christ, thank you that you've invited every person in the room. You've left nobody out. That all of us have the freedom to come to you or not. We thank you for that privilege. And we respect this table of yours. Thank you for letting us bring to it ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.